Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In 1996, a security guard named Richard Jewell made national headlines after working to clear bystanders during a bombing at Centennial Olympic Park in Atlanta. At first celebrated for his heroism, Jewell soon became the lead suspect in the incident, a fact made public by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He was eventually cleared by the FBI, but not before becoming the center of a national media circus that lasted almost 90 days.
This morning, he was a man with Olympic gold medal hero status, the alert security guard who spotted the deadly backpack and saved lives.
I will say everyone has been very nice.
Tonight, he's the FBI's prime suspect in the Centennial Park bombing.
I'm sure they're investigating everyone that was in the area.
The speculation is that the FBI is close to making the case in their language. They probably have enough to arrest him right now, probably enough to prosecute him, but you always want to have enough to convict him as well. There are still some holes in this case.
At the time, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution was widely criticized for jumping the gun on the story. And now a new film by Clint Eastwood hopes to clear Jewell's name once and for all, but it's being widely criticized for its depiction of Kathy Scruggs, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter who broke the Jewell story. In the film, Scruggs, played by the actor Olivia Wilde, sleeps with an FBI officer to get more information about the case. Joining me now is Alyssa Wilkinson, film critic for Vox. Alyssa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about Kathy Scruggs, the AJC reporter, in real life. And we should say that she's deceased.
That's right. She passed away in 2001, about 5 years after the case and before a judge cleared her for what happened in that case. So Kathy Scruggs is described by her colleagues as being kind of a hard-hitting journalist, very fair and equitable, but also kind of a firebrand, very passionate about her work, very good at getting the story, which all of those elements are present in the film for sure. She's a very lively person. But the thing that her colleagues have taken issue with and her former editors have is that she would sleep with a source in order to get information. And of course, this is a trope that happens all the time in the movies, but it's not something that is okay for a journalist to do. And so it's kind of slanderous to a dead journalist.
And we should be clear that why it's not okay for a journalist to do that. I mean, we as journalists and women, but mostly as journalists, have ethical guidelines, right? You want to explain some of those to our listeners?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of ways that you try to get information from people. You do develop relationships with them, but you're not supposed to have that kind of a relationship with a source, and certainly not in order to get information. It's manipulative. It's not an ethical way to do it. And it's not something that journalists, you know, engage in when they're working according to their code of ethics. In the movies, journalists often are depicted as doing this, but it's not anywhere near as frequent as you might be led to believe by Hollywood.
You say this is a portrayal that we've seen in other media. I recall, I'm thinking about House of Cards mm-hmm. and the young journalist that we meet in the first season who sleeps with a source. What are some other examples that we've seen here?
Yeah, there's actually two in House of Cards. It's not just her, but there's another character who says something like, you know, she would sleep with anyone to get information that she needed. Recently in Sharp Objects, the HBO series, there's a depiction of the character Camille doing this. We can go back to the movie Thank You for Smoking. There's a character who does this. Rory Gilmore does on Gilmore Girls. And this is sort of a pattern throughout Hollywood's kind of depiction of female journalists, that this is not just something they do because they want to, but something they do because they're kind of not good enough to do the job without having to get the information that way.
As a woman, as a journalist myself, I've always taken great pains to avoid being in certain situations, right? For example, I tend to do many breakfasts instead of like late night drinks with sources. Do you think this portrayal hurts women journalists in the field?
It definitely does. And women journalists have lots of stories about being expected to maybe give favors to a source or finding themselves in situations that they never intended to become this way. You know, maybe you're talking to a source and then you discover they expect something from you in exchange for the information. Also, there have been very, very recent, even as so far as this week, examples of people saying, oh, well, women do this all the time, right? This is just an expected thing. And so not only does it put you in some situations you don't want to be in, but it also creates the expectation that a woman who is a successful journalist must have slept her way to the top in some way.
How has the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and its parent company, Cox Enterprises, responded to the film so far?
They, even before they saw the film, issued a statement demanding of Warner Brothers, the company that's distributing the film, and Clint Eastwood, and the screenwriter as well, that they make a statement that this is an imaginative recreation of events, that this is not accurate or based on facts, and that they put a statement to that effect in the film as well. And that statement, you know, is a very strongly worded one, because they don't want their colleague to be depicted in this way, nor do they want this stereotype to be something that's accepted. They didn't demand that the film be taken, you know, out of theaters, but they did say, we want you to say something about this to make it clear that you made this up.
And also, this raises broader questions about how much artistic license one can take when the subject is a real subject. The people involved are real players. But we're not talking about documentary film here. We're talking about Hollywood. What does that say to you as a critic about how much license Hollywood is allowed to take when it comes to non-documentary films featuring real topics and real people?
Yeah, well, we should say up front that the FBI agent that Scruggs is portrayed as sleeping with is a fictional character or a composite character. So that character that John Hamm plays is not a real guy. However, Kathy Scruggs was a real person. So this actually is where I generally say, you know, license, creativity, you have to tell a story. There are some restrictions that come when you're putting a real story on screen in order to make it exciting and interesting. But why are you taking this real character and having them sleep with a fictional character and having only one of them obviously be culpable in that sense? There's nobody to blame on the other side. So artistic license is great and fine, but we have to think really hard about whether we want to see people be smeared or slandered on screen in the name of artistic license, and also the context in which that artistic license is presented.
Alyssa Wilkinson is film critic for Vox. Alyssa, thanks so much.
Thank you.